Okay, has everybody got your quiz? I have two left if anybody don't have a quiz. One on the back. Okay. There you go, Mike. Okay, whoever gets the best grade on this, Mike can take them out to eat. Nah. Glenn was asking if this is a lasagna versus turkey test. Yeah. Okay, agape salape. John chapter 21, verse 15. I'll go through this in the intellectual way, and then we will analyze that, and then go from there. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand your words. I do pray you'd help us to honor the words of the King James Bible and see the funny little game that men play that makes them appear that they're really smart, spiritual. And I pray you'd help us to simply love your words in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, John chapter 21, 15. Okay, this is Peter denied Christ three times, and he did it publicly. So the Lord is going to get him to confess him three times publicly. And we'll read the three verses. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Then saith he again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said, saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Okay, now this is how this is usually taught. If you turn the paper over. Okay, let's delve into the Greek. This is the Greek game that is played. If you have a Strong's Concordance, remember the Strong's Concordance takes all the words in the Bible, alphabetizes them, and then puts all the references chronologically, except for like the letter A and the and stuff like that. Now, those, they do have them in there, but they just put the reference, and that's toward the back of the or other section. Okay, so like the word Adam. Okay, and then it will have the word Adam throughout all the Bible chronologically. And in the Old Testament, there'll be a number. It'd have the reference and a partial phrase, and then a number. Okay, that number corresponds with a definition, somebody's definition of that Hebrew word. Okay, if it's Old Testament Hebrew, if it's New Testament Greek. Now, the word, since we're in the New Testament, in John 21, verse 15, Jesus asked Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, in the Greek language, now on this page, John 21, 15, I have, that is how it's written out beside a lexicon. A lexicon is a little green guy that comes from Ireland. Okay, a lexicon will be the English and the Greek word side by side. Okay, and so it has, so when they had dined, Jesus saith, Lego, like, you know, the toys. Okay, Simon, that's not too hard, Petros. And then at the word lovest thou, see that agapeo. Isn't that impressive? Agapeo. Okay, that's agape, a guppy, fishing, something. Now, if you drop down a little bit further, under, let's see, after John 21, 17, I have Greek 26, agape. So they even show you how to pronounce it, so you can really impress people with your Greek game. Now, the Greek guys will tell you that that means a selfless love. A deep, intimate, selfless love that only, that God gives. Okay, agape. Now, they supposedly get that definition from this definition, from 25, love, i.e. affection or benevolence, especially, plural, a love feast, feast of, charity, charitably, dear, love. Now, that's how they get a intimate, selfless love. They get that from that words. So the idea is that Jesus asked Peter, do you love me intimately, selfless? And his response, thou knowest that I love thee, phileo, like Philadelphia, like brotherly love. Now that one is defined a little further down, Greek 5368, phileo, they show you how to pronounce it. And that is to be a friend to, fond of, have affection for, and then so forth. That's what the Greek word. So the wise scholar would tell you that means a casual, friendly love. So if you delve into the wonderful Greek, you get a fuller meaning of the words. Now we know that no translation is perfect. I was listening to this Catholic guy talking for about 45 minutes on the radio last night down in Indianapolis. And that's what he's, no Greek. The one that I prefer is the New American Bible, the Catholic version. That's what this guy was going on. I didn't know if I was listening to a Protestant or a Catholic. Okay, so the great scholar will say, okay, verse 15, Jesus asked, do you intimately love me? Peter's response is, Lord, I friendly love you. The next verse on the backside, I just cut it down to the actual thing. Again, Jesus said agape, and Peter said phileo. And then the third time, Jesus said, do you phileo love me? And he says, you know, I love you. So the idea that the great, I remember in Colorado, we had three boys in a Christian school. One was a legally blind kid, then his little brother, and his dad was a former pastor. His dad was going to be a guest speaker in a church. And afterwards, after he spoke there, the middle son said to me that the church was really impressed with them. He talked them about agape phileo, John 21. See, the church was impressed with him, agape phileo. And that sounds impressive. Peter, do you love me? Selfless love. Peter says, oh, I love you friendly. Peter, do you love me? Selfless love. Peter says, why? You're friendly. I like you like that, you know. Okay, do you like me like a friend? Oh, yeah, I like you like a friend. And see, you get those great meanings out of the original languages. That the only way you're going to get that is either you go to Christian college for 4 years, seminary for 3 years, or you give me a salary, a raise, to impress you with this great knowledge, which I didn't learn Greek and Hebrew, so you can keep my pay down. Now, if that is a valid definition for phileo and agape, then when you take the quiz, turn it over. Now you can put an A or a P. The love of God, is that lasagna or turkey? Okay, so you can write an A or a P in there. And then after we're done, you can hand it to your neighbor to have them grade it. Okay, the love of God, Luke 11:42. A or P. Next one, the love of God, John 5:42. A, God's love, selfless, intimate love, or friendly love? Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother, friendly love or love like God gives, selfless love? Revelation 3, verse 9, to know that I have loved. That's Jesus Christ speaking. To know that I have loved. Agape, salape, or phileo, abeo. Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, Jesus Christ saying, as many as I love, I chasten, I rebuke, and so forth. Matthew 23:19, this is for the scribes and Pharisees. They love the uppermost rooms. Selfless love or casual friendly love? John 12:25, he that loveth his life. Luke 11:43, ye love the uppermost seats. So that one is a parallel to the Matthew 23. Where's my cheat sheet? No one's got it? Oh, I gave him it? A fillet of fish, yeah. Okay, John 5:20, the Father loveth the Son. Selfless love? Phileo or friendly love? John 6:27, the Father himself loveth you because he loved me. John 16:27. Did I say six? Okay. Okay, that's first half. Now, the second half is other New Testament writers. Those were actual statements by the Lord himself. Okay, the second half, 2 Timothy 3:4, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Jesus loved Martha. John 20:22, the other disciples whom Jesus loved. Other disciples. Disciple? That should be singular? The other disciples whom Jesus loved. Yeah, okay. Scratched the S. 1 Corinthians 16:22, if any man love not the Lord, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love. God commendeth his love. Selfless love? Okay, 1 Corinthians 16:24. My love be with you all. That's a southerner. Y'all. 2 Timothy 1:7. We're not under the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Romans 12:10. One to another with brotherly love. 2 Thessalonians 3:2, are bound in love one toward another. Titus 2:4, women to be sober, to love their husbands. That one we could probably come up with a third definition for love. That means tolerate. Ephesians 5:28, so men ought to love their wives. 1 Peter 2:17, love the brotherhood. Yeah. Hebrews 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. No cheating. No looking at your neighbors. Okay, Titus 3:4. And the love of God our Savior, and then in him verily is the love of God perfected. Okay. Now trade it with your neighbor. This is how I used to do it in school out west is, okay, the neighbor who's grading it has to put their name at the bottom. No money passing hands. Okay, here's the answers. Okay, on number one, I'll just read the letters real quick. 1A, 2A, 3P, he that loveth father and mother, phileo. 4A, to know that I have loved. As many as I love, Jesus Christ, that's P. That throws them off on that one. Number 6, love the uppermost rooms, that's P. Number 7, he that loveth his life, that's P. Number 8, you love the uppermost seats, that's A. You would think that would be the same as number 6. How are we doing? I hear giggling. Got one right? Okay, number 9, Father loveth the Son, P, phileo. And number 10, P. Okay, out of 10, how many got 5 right or more? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. How many got 6 right? 1, 2, you got 6 right? Oh, you got your paper. Martha? Okay. Seven, right. Ooh. Okay, second half. Number one, P, lovers of pleasures. Number two, Jesus loved Martha. Oh, of course it's got to be agape. It is A. Three, the other disciple whom Jesus loved. P. Number four, if a man loved not the Lord. P. Number five, but God commendeth his love toward us. A. Number six, my love be with you all. A. Seven, of power and of love. A. Eight, love one another. Brotherly love, that's P. Number nine, abound in love toward another. That's A. Women, be sober to love your husbands. That's P. Brotherly love. 11, so men ought to love their wives. A. Okay, 12 is love the brotherhood. A. 13 is let brotherly love continue. That's P. 14, the love of God our Savior. That's P. And 15 is A. See how the that agape philopes, man, you know, if somebody just limits themselves to John 21, they could walk, oh, that's pretty good. Okay, how many got more than seven right on that one? More than 10 right? 10 or more? 3, 10 or more. Okay. How many? 10? 13? 11. Okay. Good. Okie dokie. On the back side of this agape salape. Oh, it doesn't matter. You could frame it if you got a real good grade. Now, did anybody pick up on it? You could have turned over and got about three answers from the backside.
Didn't have enough time.
I did it pretty quick, yeah. Okay, in that context, in John 21, verse 15, 16, and 17, Jesus used two different Greek words for the word feed. So this agape and this all this Greek stuff is just designed to impress people. Granted, a lot of guys, that's all they've been taught, that's all they know. Now, if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, which I have at the bottom of the sheet, okay, and you run those, okay, 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, but as touching brotherly love, okay, Philadelphia, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. That's agape. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, Philadelphia, see that ye love agape one another with a pure heart fervently. So they're placed together. So that, you know, when somebody plays that Greek game, basically you can look at the Greek words and somebody's put those definitions there. And it's a multiple choice. You could choose the definition that you like best. And then say to people that, now you wouldn't say I like this one best. That would be private preferences. You would say a better rendering could be this. And that's the game that's played. Now, it's interesting. Gail Ripplinger's latest book is real thick. She shows the ones who gave the definitions for those Greek words and Hebrew words, like in Strong's Concordance, like Weiss Word Studies, like all these Greek dictionaries that preachers use, the ones that gave the definition were Greek philosophers, and many of those were perverts. That's who's defining the terms. Do these men know that? I doubt it. She documented it very well, thoroughly, in that thick book, okay, and shows it is not only bad, it is from bad to worse. It is beyond bad. For example, in the Revised Version, when Westcott and Hort snuck in this new Greek Testament back in the 1881 revision, they encouraged, invited, got a man on the committee who was part of a scandal where he was the head of a boys' home, where this guy was funneling boys out for toys of other men. Code of silence? Okay. And so, and people, you get to discover these things are more prevalent, like Boys Town. You know, Boys Town, people think was, you know, a fine little orphanage and all that stuff. That was a Catholic front for running boys to priests. Okay, and the sad thing is that this is getting more and more prevalent in our day. Now, if we go back to John 21 and read the English words, believe what is said. Here's what we can get out of this. Anytime anybody, you know, wants to run the Greek game, and, you know, I haven't taken time to take the Greek. I didn't know, want to know it. I've never had a problem not knowing it. If anybody gets smart with me, I write the two words down. I have them in a footnote. The two words for writing of divorcement in Matthew 19, verse 7. You write the two Greek words that the Bible translated to be, God led them to translate that, those two Greek words to be writing of divorcement. And the Greek words are in the bottom, in that footnote, apostasion biblion. And one time I wrote those two Greek words on a 3x5 card. I showed it to Maria Shedd, now Belos, Maria. I said, Maria, give me the best translation you can of those words. Now, she didn't know Greek, but it was similar to Spanish. She looked at it and she said, apostate Bibles. And so if somebody really wants to get a more better rendering of a divorcement, it's apostate Bibles. Now, we don't need Greek to figure that out. We can find that by Jeremiah's writing. When God divorced Israel, Jeremiah said, you have perverted the words of the living God. Jeremiah 23:36. But in case somebody wants to do the Greek thing, show them that. And let them chew on that for a while. Okay, now the basic truth in John 21, verse 15, in this conversation between the Lord Jesus and Simon Peter, is that Peter can deny Jesus Christ three times, publicly. So the Lord is getting him to confess him three times, publicly. And what is the surest and best way for somebody like the Apostle Peter to demonstrate his love for Jesus Christ? Three times Jesus Christ said, twice feed my lambs, or once feed my lambs, twice feed my sheep. The best way, the surest way, the pastor demonstrates his love for Jesus Christ and his love for people is to feed them what the Word of God says. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter writes there where he talks about being Jesus Christ being the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. And he says about the chief shepherd in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The best way, the surest way that a pastor can demonstrate, first, his love for Jesus Christ, secondly, his love for his people, is to take their eyes off of his, quote, scholarship, his education, his position, and point their eyes to the final authority, the King James Bible, and take the time to feed them what the Bible says and encourage them to feed themselves what the Bible says. That's the best thing to do. That's the best way to demonstrate your agape or phileo love toward Jesus Christ. That's what he's telling Simon Peter. Now, in the 1 Peter chapter 5, the man who does this is promised a crown of life. Crown of glory, I'm sorry. Crown of glory. I would say a little added P.S. on that is found in Proverbs chapter 4. Now, there's a lot of men now in our country that are preaching from the King James Bible, but don't believe it. And they may even do a, you know, not a bad job preaching from the King James Bible. In fact, listening to that Catholic priest, you know, on the radio last night, he said a lot of truthful things. And I could sit in a Catholic church and then in a Presbyterian church and a Methodist church, and any of us could sit in it and actually hear them say that Jesus Christ died for your sins. But it's so far over their head that people just gloss over it. I mean, this Catholic priest, he actually said, in order for you to understand the sacred scriptures, you got to pray to the Spirit to illuminate the scriptures. That's true. That is true. Now, of course, he encouraged them to get the wrong Bible, you know, and a couple of wrong Bibles, and then he got some other subject. But that's true what he said. In order to read the scriptures, you've got to ask the Spirit of God to teach you the scriptures. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forget her, forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, wisdom, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring to thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. If you put those verses with the 1 Peter 5 passage, then I would say the pastor who's going to receive the crown of glory is the one that exalts the words of God to their rightful position. Give credit to whom credit is due. And the credit is due this blessed book. 2 Thessalonians lays it out very clearly. Chapter 3, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Okay, now back into John 21, verse 18, we can probably finish this out. Okay, so he says, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Okay, then he foretells the kind of death that he's going to die. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, thee, singular pronoun, when thou wast young, Simon Peter, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now, by what death he should glorify God? First, history tells that Simon Peter died on a crucifix. Okay? History says that he asked them to put him upside down. But the death that brings God glory. Notice verse 19. Now, oftentimes when we talk about glorifying God, we refer to our life. What if God has a death that he wants us to die in a certain fashion? And that would bring glory to him. And what if that fashion is martyrdom? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now we know that Allah and company, you know, they do it in order for the person to attain eternal life or to get into some celestial, you know, pervert thing. Okay, but God is saying to us, to his children, to his believers who are mature in the faith, who have walked with him for a long time, he's saying, sometimes I'm going to ask you to die in a certain fashion. And that will bring me glory. It'll bring him glory like a little kid playing with toy soldiers. Where this soldier, it makes him happy to go, and this soldier over here, you know, and he gets pleasure out of that. And God using us like soldiers. Now, Dieter Marklin, he'd found out that his grandfather, I think on his mother's side, died in World War II, And he was, I think they were in like a bunker, and he received the grenade full force right on him. I'm not the grenade, but a bomb. And just took him out, his grandfather out. And he had found out after visiting several of the veterans that knew his grandfather, he'd found out that his grandfather was saved. His grandfather had witnessed to many of the soldiers. They had a great respect for him. And that God chose to take him out just like that. What a way to go. All you hear is, and boom, you're in the presence of Jesus Christ. I mean, instead of a slow, you know, dying or slow dying in a prison camp. Now, what if the Lord wanted us to, like, who was the play we did? What's that? Evidence Not Seen, Darlene Diver, you know, to go through that. Okay, and then some go through something quickly. Whatever death God would choose, no doubt if God would be pleased in a death like that, or if somebody just lives out their life and that's pleasing to God, that whatever we yield to God's will, no doubt he is going to shower blessings on anybody that pleases him. Okay, verse 20, as in typical nature of people, okay, now you told me what's going to happen to me. What about him? Don't worry about him. Worry about you. Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, don't worry about it. And the precise wording, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Now, if he tarried till Jesus came, man, he would be 2,000 years old right now. He'd be an old geezer. Okay, and so, till I come, what is that to thee, follow thou me? Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Now, isn't that typical? Stretch it, didn't hear correctly. You know, when Jesus said, back in John 8, you know, an example where he either said, taste or see death, taste death, see death, and then he shifted the words on him. Okay, then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said, not unto him he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Okay, now because of history, we know that this is the man John suffered, was exiled to Patmos. While on Patmos, he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. We know it to be our last book in the Bible, 22 chapters. Okay, lived out his life, probably on exile, very boring. Solitary confinement, very boring. Okay, but yet that's what the Lord had for John the Apostle. And then verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Now, what God has chosen to write in this gospel was chosen specifically by him to show us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. And then he closed with amen. Now, I wonder is if in eternity the Lord has a library. And in this library you could rent DVDs and see what Jesus Christ did on March 1st on AD 29 and on March 2nd AD 29 and on March 3rd AD 29 and see what he packed in a day. And then we would fully understand why crowds thronged around him and the word got out never alone, trying to get away from the crowd, trying to help people, you know, coming into a funeral, messing it up. The undertakers probably didn't like him. But if they think about it, they should like him because they got paid twice doing that service and coming back and do it again. Maybe a discount second time around. Okay, but see, even all that stuff, even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Phenomenal thing about our Lord and Savior. Okay, that closes out the Gospel of John, Gospel according to John. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to honor your words, understand them, and be faithful to them. In Jesus' name, amen.